Well, it's been a little while since we've done this. It's a Fallness Fun Fest Friday with Kevin Fallness with the Minnesota Wild Radio Network. And Kevin, my friend, a good afternoon. How you been?
I am cold. I'm shivering to the bone. But beyond that, I'm alive, I'm above ground, and I think I'm relatively happy.
Well, Kevin, let's jump right into it, and let's talk about the Winter Classic that took place on January 1st. Did you do the pregame and intermissions? Were you at Target Field, or were you at your studio at the X?
I was at Target Field, and I'll tell you this much. 3 or 4 days before the event, the plan was for us to have our entire broadcast location right on the blue line, our face pressed up against the glass in the elements. We would have zero protection from anything. If it rained, snowed, or whatever, we'd be at the mercy of Mother Nature. But thankfully, someone smarter than me came up with the idea, you know what, I think it'd probably be good to move you up to the Delta Sky Club. And that's exactly what they did. There were three broadcasts. There was a national one, us, and the St. Louis Blues. We all agreed we can't do this. And I think Tom Reed probably would have snapped in half if we would have tried doing that broadcast out there. So they were nice enough to move us right up behind home plate. We had a wonderful vantage point, and we were really warm. We added a third voice, I guess a fourth voice, to our broadcast. We had Joe O'Donnell and Tom Reed calling the game from the Delta Sky Club, but then we had Mark Parrish help us out. We threw him on the glass as our ringside reporter, and I think when I asked him about it on Wednesday, he jumped at it. I'm thinking he might be regretting it. I know maybe he's not regretting it now, but I'm thinking around the second period of sitting out there and just chattering, watching his skin turn blue, he probably wished he wouldn't have been so quick to say yes. But he was outstanding. The event was phenomenal, and everything was great except for the outcome on the ice.
Now, Kevin, and we know what happened in the game, a 6-4 win for St. Louis. Let's talk about other things that happened maybe leading up to the event and during the event as well. For those that were not in attendance, it wasn't just a hockey game going on. It sounds like there were so many other events and activities going on for fans to experience.
Yeah, I mean, it's the NHL Super Bowl. That's the only way you can really sum up what this means to the NHL and the amount of work they put into it. I don't think you fully appreciate the hard work they do for this event until you experience it in person or it's in your market at the very least. I mean, you can watch it in Buffalo or New York or L.A. or even whatever, pick your spot, until it's in your backyard and you have the opportunity to see your team going at it. It was spectacular. It was amazing. I couldn't believe the amount of work and the amount of prep and the amount of detail they put into the event leading up to it, and then the event itself, I mean, A+. It was amazing. I can't put enough what a great job the NHL did in capturing all the little minute nuances of the state of hockey, the ice rinks going on and pond hockey being played while the Wild and Blues are going toe-to-toe, deer in the outfield, you name it. They had ice fishing. Nordy was ice fishing.
No.
Right field. It was just
did they really?
A little bit of everything. Then Lou Nanny doing the Let's Play Hockey. They had, you know, the old Wild players involved in the festivities. Teams from all around the state doing ceremonial puck drops, including John Randall, the Hall of Famer for the Minnesota Vikings. Just they hit everything out of the park. It's too bad the Wild couldn't do their part because, the on-ice product was not great that night, but everything else was unbelievable.
Fallness Fun Fest Friday with Kevin Fallness, Minnesota Wild Radio Network. And Kevin, we need to bring up COVID when it comes to the NHL. I see that our Minnesota Wild, and we're going to talk about the win against Boston last night coming up, but I see that we already have a couple of games postponed for next week. I know up in Canada, what is going on? Are they canceling games because of COVID, or has it got more to do with restrictions on how many fans can be in attendance?
Yeah, it's both. The Canadian deal is the COVID thing in different provinces are limiting fans, and I think the NHL's thought is that if they postpone these games to February, when the Olympics were supposed to be played, you got a nice hole in the schedule in the calendar where you could drop these games in, and they hope that by that time the restrictions to the attendance will be back under control, and rather than have 50% or 0% capacity at some of these places, the hope is in February maybe things will open up again. I think that might be wishful thinking, but I think that's the thought process here. So, I think while the Wild have had a handful of games postponed, and really they played two games since December 20th, which is ridiculous. Then they got these two games this week, and then they're going to have next week off as well because they're not going to Winnipeg or Edmonton. I think the league as a whole was up to 100 games that have been postponed total. I think it was up to 99 last night and counting, because I think there's still some more games coming up this week. So it's been an issue across the league. It's not just the Minnesota Wild, but you know, look at Jonas Brodin. He missed one game with COVID. He had a three-week layoff because of it, because he didn't play since December 20th, and then finally getting back into the lineup last night. I mean, this has been just – it's been a wacky season, but for the Wild, it's been a really weird up-and-down week month that's, you know, really kind of hampered their season.
Now, Kevin, let's talk about last night's game again. You mentioned a one of two games this week, a Washington at home coming up tomorrow. We're going to have that game for you right here on KAIT, 6:45 pregame, faceoff at 7. And, Kevin, let's talk about the Boston game. We ended that losing streak. Was it 5 or 6 that we snapped last night?
They had lost 5 in a row. Not only that, they hadn't beaten the Bruins since 2016. It was a 6-game skid against the Bees. And I'll be honest, going into that one, I didn't give him much of a chance. It was nice to see the debut of prize prospects Matt Boldy and Marco Rossi, and you know, a lot of the young faces in the lineup. But when you think about the players that are missing from this team, going up against the mighty Boston Bruins, who had won 3 in a row and right near the top of the Metropolitan Division, I didn't give the Wild much of a chance. 6 of the regulars were gone, and then you lose Kirill Kaprizov, you know, one of the elite talents in the league, midway through that hockey game, and then they're down 1-0 to start when Taylor Hall puts the Bruins up 1-0. I didn't give the Wild much of a chance, especially considering not only the injuries, but they haven't played a lot of hockey. They look like garbage for 2/3 of that game against the Blues on Saturday, and yet they put forth one of the guttiest games I've seen in the history of this Wild team. And I'm not being, you know, over the top here. I thought what they were able to do last night in Boston was really a thing of beauty. All the kids were contributing. The guys as a team, whoever was available, they were pulling the rope in the same direction. And that was, you know, an impressive win as I think we've seen.
Now, Kevin, I was listening to the post-game show with you last night. Talk about exactly what happened with Kirill Kaprizov. Again, I didn't see any of the game or listen to it, but I heard the post-game. He scored a goal last night that tied things up at 1-1. There was a hit on him. Explain what happened, and was it dirty? Give us a recap of what happened there.
Yeah, the Kaprizov goal was great, first of all. He scores his 14th of the year, comes on the power play. He's now got 4 goals in 4 games, and you know, he's a guy that, despite the fact the Wild haven't played a lot of hockey, he continues to be, you know, an elite-level talent. And I think what that does is it puts a target on his back and other teams pay attention to him. But what this guy did, his name is Trent Frederick. He's the quote-unquote tough guy for the Boston Bruins. It felt like he was hunting Kirill Kaprizov through the first half of that hockey game, and he got Kaprizov in a vulnerable position. And I've got kids in youth hockey, and you see this all the time. They got stop signs between their shoulder blades. If you see that stop sign, or if you can read their numbers on the back, you don't hit them. Well, Trent Frederick didn't learn that in youth hockey, and he drove his body right into the middle of Kaprizov as he was in a vulnerable position, threw his face right into the glass and into the boards, and Kaprizov left the game. What he's dealing with, we don't know. They call it an upper body injury. Only played half the game, did not return. And so while Frederick got a boarding penalty, it probably should have been a major. Wild should have been on a 5-minute power play and ended up fighting Dmitry Kulikov right after the fact. Kulikov isn't of that weight class. Frederick's kind of a heavyweight. Later on in the hockey game, he had to answer to Marcus Foligno, and Foligno fed him about half a dozen rights right into the grill and just missed an uppercut, which probably would have put Frederick into next week. So he did have to answer for it, but, I mean, that's a small price to pay in the fact that, you know, they took Kirill Kaprizov not only out of that game, but who knows what his status is moving forward.
Fallness Fun Fest Friday. Kevin Fallness, Minnesota Wild Radio Network. Again, Minnesota wins 3-2 against Boston. We'll hear from Kevin coming up on the pregame show tomorrow night. Kevin, before I let you go, give us a preview. Washington is in town. We know they got star power. Give us a preview of tomorrow night's game.
Yeah, and that's another elite team from the Eastern Conference. It seems like they're loaded over there in the East, and Washington's right there with them. Alexander Ovechkin on his way to try to catch Wayne Gretzky. Who'd have thought that his 894 goals scored in the history of the National Hockey League, number one in that category. Ovechkin, you know, if he stays healthy, and, you know, I mean, he's been in the league for 20 years now, he just continues to get better. I mean, that's the guy to watch for tomorrow night, no question about it, but they still have a lot of other talent besides him, TJ Oshie, Nick Backstrom. A loaded lineup, a lot of fun. I can't wait to see this team on home ice. It's been a while since we've seen them actually at XL Energy Center. In theory, the Saturday game in the Winter Classic counts as a home game, but the Wild have been very good on home ice, 10-2-1 in the games played in St. Paul. So hopefully they can continue the good vibes from last night, see more of those young kids, especially Matt Boldy, and maybe he can get his second goal in two games in the National Hockey League and have some fun Saturday night in St. Paul.
A reminder, fans, if you're going to the game tomorrow night, make sure you bring your mask. You're going to need that at the XL Energy Center. If you're not going to the game, all the action again tomorrow night, 7 o'clock face-off right here on KATE. Kevin Fallness, Minnesota Wild Radio Network. Kevin, thank you so much for the time, and we'll do it again soon.
It's always a thrill, Aaron. Thanks for having me.